So tonight, I have titled this short topic on just being real, dealing with reality in marriage. You know, do you remember when you got engaged? I remember exactly where we were. And like you said, I can be a little unpredictable. So I decided I was going to ask my wife to go out this night. I was going to get engaged. Anyway, so my wife told her she thought it was coming. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to get engaged, and I was trying to be practical. I wanted to be engaged and like we could plan a wedding. So why go out to eat and waste that time and money when you could get engaged and then go out to eat, right? So my wife said, you know, knowing Dwight, he'll probably just pull off the road and ask me. And so that's exactly what I did. She knew me. I pulled a card. I had a card under her seat. And she said some of the most beautiful words I ever heard. I said, would you like to marry me? She said, I'd love to. It's a wonder I stayed on my side of the road the rest of the trip.
Did the card have Swiss cheese?
No, I had progressed. I had learned a few things. So, the upshot of it was we ran into, actually it was Brenda's brother. Was there with his girlfriend, and I was like, oh, my word. I didn't want to see anybody right then. I just wanted to have that moment. But you remember that moment when you got engaged? The world looks just amazing. Rainbows. And so, you know, you think that life is, you look at married life, and you kind of have this thought that life is going to be just loaded with romance and candles, spontaneous intimacy. You know, just, you know, we'll have children, but we'll still get it figured out. It's just going to be great, you know. And, you know, I actually had decided I was going to own a lot of apartments. Went and saw an attorney. And I don't own one. I tried that. I hated being a landlord. But, you know, I had dreams and visions, and my wife had dreams and visions. You know, as a wife, this is a man. This is your knight in shining armor. They say love is blind. Yeah, it's true. It's probably a good thing in some ways that love is blind, right? Because for the next 20 years, the blinders come off, right? And the blindness is gone. So that was kind of our thing, romance and candles. I thought things were really good. And, you know, you get this mental picture like what I have up here. This is a rowing team. Now, you notice everybody's in sync. This is a beautiful, calm water. And there's one guy in the front, or lady, yes, it's a lady actually, but in the front telling people how to do it. So you have this mental picture that, you know, Jesus is our captain telling us how to row, and we're just, life is going to be smooth. Because we're Christians, right? We're Anabaptists. This is going to be great. We're going to have a great life, and we're going to have a successful business, and we're going to have children, and we'll be, you know, just a really good, solid marriage. But unfortunately, a lot of our marriages look like that. Right? Can you identify with that? Sometimes you're just rowing to stay on top. You're just fighting. But you know something? There's a guy in the back. He's also calling the shots. So Jesus is with us even when we're going through some really rocky times. If we ask him to be there, he'll tell us how to row. And so, you know, life goes on. I remember our marriage was great. Young married, life was just pretty awesome. And God was doing a work in my life. I was awakening spiritually. I carried some baggage into our marriage, some very sensitive conscience, assurance of salvation, things like that I was wrestling with. And God was doing a work in my life, and he was drawing my wife and I together. That weekend that Marlon talked about, God had done a work in my life as well, even though I was a Christian. And then, you know, along comes Junior, right? So along come children. And I've discovered that children have a way of bringing reality into romance. I'm just being real tonight, right? Do you ever hear the saying, a watch pot never boils? Right? So the thing that I want to talk about is, in life we have to be flexible. And sometimes we have to be creative. And so we were like a three-car seat family at this time. And some of you may remember that stage. Some of you may have that stage. Some of you may be looking forward to that stage. I don't know. But that's fine. We had a three-car seat family. And I noticed that my children would often just go to sleep in a car seat. They were a little different than a lot of children. And so I remember one night, speaking about the reality of life, my children would not settle down. And my wife and I had other plans. And they would not settle down. And they would not settle down. And I had a choice to make. I could choose to get mad, which, when guys, when we do that, we're just pretty much, that's out the door for the next 3 months. No, I'm just kidding. But it's gone for a while, okay? And I thought, I'm going to have to get creative. Huh, my children fall asleep in a car. You know what? I loaded my three children up in a car, and we went for a drive. Boop, 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 boop. They all fell asleep. I brought them home. We put them to bed, and I'll stop there. But you get the drift of the story. Sometimes we have to be creative to spend time with each other. And the reality of life is, when you have children, that is an awesome thing. I would never change any of my six children for anything, but you've got to learn to work around it. And if it means getting them in a car and going for a little drive, go for it. Nothing wrong with that. Just don't leave them out there. Yeah, that's wrong. That's illegal. But I had a choice to make. And we have a choice to be flexible, and you have to be creative. If you want to spend time, it takes some creative. You got to think outside the box a little bit. That's the reality of life. Sometimes, when it comes to romance, we're too stressed. It's just, honey, I've had an awful day. I've just been diapers and babies and children and you know, a lady stopped in and needed help, but I'm just exhausted. You know, how about tomorrow night? There's ways we need to be flexible. Sometimes there's things that come up in life, and how we respond to the things that come up in life either will draw you together or drive you apart. And God puts these tests in our hearts and minds to build character in our lives, to show us who we're really made of. Am I living for myself, or am I living for my partner and for God and for my children? Maybe one party gets sick. Paul talked about it. It was alluded to today, about serving each other. And this only works when both parties want to serve each other and look out for the good of each other in romance. My wife and I, we live a very busy life. I'm a church leader. We have people in and out of our home all the time. I mean, sometimes it gets a little crazy. When you have teenagers, they want to have their friends over, and we have people coming. We have a guy that's going through a very nasty divorce, and he found the Lord, and he's got some edges that need trimming, and God has put me and my wife in there to do a little pruning, and my wife can prune really well. She does a good job with that. She does it with a plate of food. She's amazing at it. But that takes time, and it takes energy, and it saps you. And so often a day of rest for us is not a day of rest. We're going to church. We're a small church. And so I'm, you know, how's this guy doing? I'm connecting with them. My wife and I are talking about it back and forth. My wife's bringing people home for lunch, you know, and Sunday night we're exhausted. We go to bed, and we got the week to go for it again. So God showed us how to deal with this. And I'm going to share you something. This isn't necessarily about romance, but indirectly it affects romance. What we've decided to do is, this is how our home, this works for us, okay? I'm not saying that was going to work for you, because every situation is different. But for us, every Saturday, I don't work. And my wife, Sorry, I should have shut. I thought I had my phone. Oh, my son can call in. Okay. And my wife and I go around noon, because often I'm meeting with somebody on Saturday morning for breakfast. But we go around noon, we go out, we get a bite to eat, and we get groceries. And we talk about our church responsibilities. We talk about our children. How's our daughter doing? We haven't connected with our one son yet. We talk about life that's happened the last week. And then sometimes we pray together about this situation. And I'm working on a message. We talk about that. My wife said, what are we going to do for Sunday lunch? Who should we have over? This type of thing. And we also host a biweekly prayer meeting in our home. So it gets full. But we've discovered that we can have an absolutely crazy week. And I'm talking emotionally now. Not necessarily talking romance. But my wife knows that Saturday she can connect with her husband. And when we provide a safe place, men, for our wives to routinely know they can connect, that builds romance. That is a foundational thing. But what we have to be flexible, and we have to think outside the box. In our busy schedules that we have, and all of us have them, we have to be a little bit creative and ask God to help us. So that's what works for us. So being flexible is one way to being real. Another thing that I want to talk about is be creative in how to, maybe you want to get your point across to your wife, or your wife wants to get your point across to me. And I'm going to share two small stories that happened to us. So I'll share the first one about me. So my wife really has been encouraging me to study. And so over the last 10 years, I've taken on a college course on top of trying to run a business, be a dad, a family, a husband, family man, a husband, and a pastor. It gets a little overwhelming sometimes, and I need to prioritize. So I'll pay a couple $100 and I'll buy a course, and I'll get that done. I'm like, man, I need a break. But you know, my wife, she knows what makes me tick. She goes, you know, you really are sexy when you study. She's a smart woman. Man, give me some books, guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's smart. She knows how I tick, right? Besides, there ain't no six-pack abs here anyway, so we might as well go with study. Women, use your brain. God gave you that for a reason. Brag on your husband a little bit. Yes, absolutely. That gets him going. Another thing, I'll just share one thing about that my wife does also is she thanks me. We're on a budget, and every week I give her a certain amount of cash. And every week she says, thank you. You know what makes me want to do? Where's my next bacon job? I'm going to go get some more bacon for her. It motivates us when, wives, it motivates us when we feel like we're the man. It motivates us. It does something. That's the way we're made. It makes us tick. You want to get your husband to do stuff, use a couple of those ideas. You'll get a lot of stuff done.
Amen.
Absolutely. And it's the way God made it. Now, for me, I had to be really smart one time, too. I married a wife that was in Costa Rica. She grew up in Costa Rica. In Costa Rica, we were just down there. It's 93 degrees. My skin's still peeling from the sun that we had. Well, I'm not sure how to say this. So wintertime comes around, and we're wearing a lot of pajamas to bed. And I wanted to get the message across that I would rather not have so many pajamas. So I said, what can I do? Let's have some fun with it. So I went and I got a pair of quilted coveralls, and I put them on. And I went to bed. And she came to bed, I said, hey, hug this. And we both just burst out laughing. But it was a fun way for me to get my point across. And you know what? To this day, it stuck. So, but those are ways that we can, because what I was really saying is, honey, you're beautiful and I like you.
So you still wear coveralls to bed?
You said I was unpredictable, right?
I wasn't sure what stuck.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't. So thank you for that clarification. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. The next point I have is have a ministry together. Dean had alluded to that. You want your marriage to go to the next level, get involved in ministry. And God has ordained every one of us as couples. We are not just created for each other. We're created to advance God's kingdom. That is our job. That is our calling. And if you want a marriage where you connect on a spiritual level and on an emotional level and then on a physical level, get involved in ministry if you're both believers in Jesus Christ. And it will do something rich for your marriage. It will do amazing things. We love ethnic people, my wife and I. We just love Arabs and Jews. And so we have for the last 10 years, I'll tell you a little bit, we have in our home, we have a Jewish rabbi and his wife come for supper. Now, it is a cultural experience. And it has stretched us farther than we could ever stretch. But I have seen my wife push through that. We also have prayer meeting. But I've seen my wife has battled with Lyme's 4 years ago. And we've discovered that when we do ministry, often the day that we're wanting to do something, we'll have an argument, all of a sudden she'll feel weak and sick. And I have seen her push through and say, we need to do this. This is why we're doing it. You know what? It does something when our spirits are united on a common cause and advancing God's kingdom. Your marriage will blossom in ways that you never expect it to. Because when we're connected on a spiritual level, that is beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. So find something as a couple that you can do to advance God's kingdom. It's not an option. It's a command. Mark and Faith are doing something. They were in our community. They're here. They're leading the administrative work here. They're advancing God's kingdom. They have found a sense of fulfillment in that, right, Mark, Brenda? Mark and Faith, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But yes, you know what I mean, right? Absolutely. Learn to laugh at life. Learn to laugh. It's so important to learn laughter as a couple. Because there's going to just be a lot of crazy stuff happen in a marriage. And when we can start laughing about it, it just takes the edge off of it. Sometimes my wife and I get into an argument and we end up laughing. It's a whole lot better than raising our voice and yelling, right? The other week we were shopping. I think we were shopping for this stuff. And I was talking about somebody and I botched their name terribly. And my wife had a really stressful day. She just collapsed over the grocery cart in laughter. I just held onto the cart and she just wheezed and laughed. I don't even remember what I said, but learn to laugh. Laughter is such a beautiful thing, and it's great when you can have something stressful. Besides, I like to see my wife just a little bit ticked, so it tickles me. It just kind of tickles me, and so I'll start laughing, and then she'll start laughing, and then it's kind of over with. Now, I didn't say mad. I said just a little bit ticked. There's a difference. All right. The fourth point I have is learn to pray for each other. Very, very important. I went through a time in my life when I had almost an emotional breakdown through some church situations. And I was no longer the tough knight in shining armor that my wife thought I was. I was a guy that couldn't get out of bed to go to work. I had teenage sons that were telling me, Dad, something is bad wrong with you. We're sitting out in the living room waiting on him, on their dad, to go to work. And I couldn't sleep at night. I was up till all hours of the night. I would go to sleep and wake up at 3, and I would just be anxiety and stress. And there was only one person I could reach out to, and that was my wife. And I said, Hon, can you pray for me? She would lay her hands on me and pray for me. We've discovered a power in that. Then it was my turn. Then my wife went through Lyme's and anxiety and asked for prayer. And I would pray for her. I would read the Psalms to her in the middle of the night. Some of the worst And best battles are done around 3 and 4 in the morning, I'm convinced, in our lives. Learn to pray for your partner. Be quick to pray for each other. I went through a really dark time. And one of the beautiful things about it is when I was down, she was usually up. When she was down, I was usually up. And God has put it that way. And so prayer is so important. It does something for your wife, men, when you just lay your hand on her head and start praying. It just does. She feels loved. She feels protected. She feels cared for. And then it also does something, men, when you wives, when you see your husband struggling, lay your hands on him and pray for him. You're not any less of a Christian. You have a connection with God. Pray for your husband in private, but pray for him in public. When you're together, is what I mean. Just pray. It's beautiful. And it produces a power. You're a force. When you pray for your partner, you know what you're doing? You're bringing God in the picture, but you're also owning that situation. You're saying, I'm walking with you. And I care enough about you. I'm going to wake up out of my sleep. And I'm going to lay my hands on you. And I'm going to pray for you. You're walking together as a team. And when we start doing that, when we start praying for each other, when we learn to laugh, when we learn to be flexible, when we learn to live in reality, there's a verse in Romans that I would like to share, Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? When we are united as a couple in spirit, God is for us. We can face the world. Because it's not just our love holding each other together. It's a covenant love with God as the center. And our lives, God will bring us from a season of this back to a season of that. And you'll experience peace in your home as you walk and as you tread water. Sometimes the water is pretty rough. But keep looking to the captain, Jesus Christ. And use some of these tools, and it's a real blessing. Thank you for your time.